From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, January 4th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started officially with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Nice one here. It says, power works best in the hands of those who don't want it. Yeah. Unfortunately, those who don't want it rarely ever achieve it.
We're burning daylight.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
Should be exciting.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Coming in.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Hey. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1958, Sputnik 1, the first artificial Earth satellite launched by the Soviet Union in 1957, fell to Earth from orbit. Now, this was generally how the Soviet space program went for its first couple of years, but they were ahead of us. Yeah. And it was on this day in 1999, former professional wrestler Jesse Ventura was sworn in as governor of Minnesota. And Minnesota hasn't been the same since. What is the matter with those people up there?
You're heading for a breakdown. Why don't you pull yourself to pieces?
The big news yesterday was the resignation of Harvard president Claudine Gay. There were a lot of other big stories, but I think that was probably the predominant story, at least as everybody started their day yesterday. So I went to the Epoch Times, great article written by Jackson Richmond and Bill Pan, where they said that Harvard President Claudine Gay has resigned following allegations of plagiarism. And this, of course, was a month after her dreadful testimony before Congress, where she refused to state that calling for the genocide of Jews constituted harassment. Now, there was a letter that Ms. Gay said that stepping down is not a decision I came to easily. It has become clear that it's in the best interests of Harvard for me to resign so that our community can navigate this moment of extraordinary challenge with a focus on the institution rather than any individual. All right, that's quoting her letter. Thoughtful letter, I guess. But I find it rather evasive because she fails there, at least in that part of the letter, to focus. Everybody wants us to focus. You must focus on this, focus on that. Well, why are we not focusing on anti-Semitism? Because I find anti-Semitism to be probably one of the most un-American things Americans can engage in. Anti-Semitism. It's nothing new. We've done it in this country for years. Look at how long we knew about the death camps in Europe within Nazi Germany and occupied areas. I mean, most of the worst death camps were in Poland. Not so much at the hands of the Polish people, but in occupied Poland. Because when Hitler went into Poland in September of 1939, that was really that was the start of World War II. So anyhow, Claudine Gay took no responsibility for the plagiarism allegations, nor did I expect her to, nor the state of campus hatred toward Jews in Israel, which I find incredibly important. If I had to choose between the two charges against her, you know, the one of the conduct on campus regarding Jews in Israel and her plagiarism, I would say that the anti-Semitism was probably the more important. But despite the resignation, Ms. Gay is going to remain a Harvard faculty member. Now, I'm not sure that all news agencies are going to make that point perfectly clear, but she will remain as a faculty member, drawing a $900,000 a year salary. Now, the school student newspaper, the Harvard Crimson, first reported the resignation. And her tenure was just over 6 months and is the shortest in the 387-year history of the school. Ms. Gay's been accused of plagiarism stemming from her career in academia. Because according to a report from the Washington Free Beacon, there were 6 new plagiarism charges against Ms. Gay in a report submitted anonymously to the school's Faculty of Arts and Sciences, Dean Hoppy Hoekstra. The Research Integrity Office and the Committee on Professional Conduct. Now, the plagiarism scandal began when conservative activist and Manhattan Institute fellow Christopher Rufo and Christopher Brunett flagged instances of plagiarism from her PhD dissertation. It was titled Taking Charge, Black Electoral Success and the Redefinition of American Policies. Well, in the new complaint, the unnamed whistleblower accuses Ms. Gay of plagiarism in both her publications and dissertation, calling on the university to open a new research misconduct inquiry. Now, this is serious stuff. It really is. I mean, think about it. Let's just say, for instance, you're sending your kid to Harvard. How much does it cost to send your kid to Harvard a year now? Can't be cheap. I mean, geez, 6 figures a year, maybe? So you're remanding basically the custody of your child's brain to this Ivy League school, which just by default seems to be considered to be one of the greatest schools in the world. At least that's what we're led to believe. And then you have stuff like this happening. So the complaint read, now I'm forced to submit an additional complaint with nearly 50 allegations, including over 6 examples never seen before. Some of them occur in a publication by Gay that was until now believed to be free from allegations of plagiarism. Others occur in the dissertation. So you see, somebody's been digging here. Somebody's been doing a lot of digging. The first complaint, which came at a uniquely troubled time, when Ms. Gay's much-criticized remarks at a congressional hearing, I don't know if you saw that hearing. I did. Had me scratching my head. But it was a hearing on anti-Semitism, and it drew widespread doubt on her fitness for the presidency. And it involved 7 of her 17 published works. Now, the second complaint now points to an 8th publication, a 2001 article that allegedly borrowed material verbatim from David Cannon, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin. So in the Epoch Times article, they say specifically the new complaint alleged that Ms. Gay took 4 unquoted sentences from Mr. Cannon's 1999 book, Race, Redistricting, and Representation, The Unintended Consequences of Black Majority Districts, and used them in her article, The Effect of Minority Districts and Minority Representation on Political Participation in California. Now understand that it's okay for an author of an article to use quotations. But you have to acknowledge the source, which she didn't do. And while Ms. Gay did include Mr. Cannon in the bibliography, she didn't cite him anywhere in or near the passage, according to the Washington Free Beacon. Now, in response to the new complaint, Mr. Cannon told the Beacon that he was not at all concerned about the passages, adding that this alleged incident is far from what could be described as academic plagiarism. He says, I'm not at all concerned about the passages. This isn't even close to an example of academic plagiarism. That was his quote. Pardon the redundancy, but I wanted to give proper attribution to it. Now, the dissertation allegedly lifted a full sentence from Harvard political science professor Gary King's 1997 book, A Solution to the Ecological Inference Problem, Reconstructing Individual Behavior from Aggregate Data. Pretty heady stuff, right? Yeah. And the complaint stated, Ms. Gay does not cite King here and uses no quotation marks around verbatim language. So, Epoch Times here says, this would add to the 3 corrections in Ms. Gay's dissertations that were announced last month following a review of her published scholarship by the Harvard Corporation, the university's highest governing body. In a summary of their initial review, an independent panel of 3 experts and a subcommittee of the Harvard Corporation, The university's governing body said they found a few instances of inadequate citation, but no violation of Harvard's standards for research misconduct. Okay. I'm okay with that. Alan M. Garber, provost and chief academic officer, is going to serve as interim president, and the search for Ms. Gay's successor will begin in due course, as they say here. The letter did not address the plagiarism or anti-Semitism controversies. That's what has my shorts in a wad regarding this woman. Because this surge of anti-Semitism, I don't know about you, but the surge of anti-Semitism in this country really has me rattled. Tell you a little something about old Dan here. I have Jewish blood in my family. Won't go into too many details, but my mother's father was Jewish, and he got kicked out of his family for marrying a Gentile. He got married back in 1920 in Germany. My father's mother is at least part Jewish, and her maiden name was Bergman. So I never would have made it through Hitler's Germany. If I had been born and raised in Germany during his time, I would have been weeded out for having Jewish blood, regardless of my blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, I would have been taken to the camps. So this whole idea of this surging anti-Semitism in this country bothers me on two fronts. First of all, I don't like anti-Semitism. I mean, the Jews are just about the most persecuted people on the face of the planet throughout history. This is nothing new. And the fact that it persists after so many millennia really is disturbing. But what's more disturbing is, why is this surge happening? Why is it happening now? Is it the miseducation of our kids? Are these Ivy League schools dropping the ball on world history? Could that be it? Well, I think that's it in part. But there's another part to this that I don't think anybody's addressing. And it's our lax attitude as a nation toward illegal immigration. It's been going on for years. This open border is really nothing new. It's new in that it's as open as it is. Did you hear the latest estimate of how many illegal aliens we have in our country now? The latest estimate is 13 million. This is as of yesterday morning. Stunning. Now, the demographic changes are one thing, but the cultural changes are yet another. You have to think about, how do we assimilate 13 million people who have poured into this country illegally in just the last 3 years? It's absolutely stunning. And it's as I warned, what, about a week or so ago? We're not really going to feel the full effects of this for another 10, 15, 20 years. And then, how will it manifest itself? So the matter of anti-Semitism, not having been adequately addressed by Claudine Gay, president of Harvard, when she was called in front of Congress, really bothers me. Now, when she was asked by Representative Elise Stefanik, she's a Republican out of New York, and she's very good. She's chairwoman of the House GOP. And when Gay was asked if calling for genocide against Jews is bullying or harassment, Ms. Gay just kind of blew it off, saying, it can be. I won't say blew it off. She demurred, okay? It can be, depending on the context. Now, I was watching that at the time, and I was trying to figure out, really? Are you just afraid to commit? What's going on here? So Gay added, anti-Semitic rhetoric, when it crosses into conduct, that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation. That is actionable conduct, and we do take action. But then she later issued a statement apologizing for her answers. She says, I'm sorry. This was in an interview with the Crimson on December 7th. She says, I'm sorry. Words matter. When words amplify distress and pain, I don't know how you could feel anything but regret. Well, naturally, that didn't satisfy anybody. except the anti-Semites. And then, to make matters worse, the Harvard Corporation stood by Claudine Gay following her testimony. So Ms. Stefanik, during the hearing, called for Ms. Gay's resignation. And then in a statement, she celebrated her stepping down, calling it long overdue. I can't argue with that. This woman can't continue as president of Harvard. Ms. Stefanik said, Claudine Gay's morally bankrupt answers to my questions made history as the most viewed congressional testimony in the history of the U.S. Congress. Her answers were absolutely pathetic and devoid of the moral leadership and academic integrity required of the president of Harvard. Amen. And yet, she continues on the faculty of Harvard to the tune of $900,000 a year. So I'm just going to ask you, think about this. Is this justice? Is this the direction you want to see this nation go? Now, Ms. Stefanik, a Harvard alum, called the resignation just the beginning of what's going to be the greatest scandal of any college or university in history. That may or may not be true. I don't know. Only time will tell. But in late November, the U.S. Department of Education announced an investigation into Harvard in light of anti-Semitism on its campus, which includes 3,200 Jewish undergraduate and graduate students, making up almost 27% of the student population. If I were to drop the name John Paul MacIsaac, you might be scratching your head and saying, I think I heard that name before, but I can't place it. Well, nothing unusual about that. He's the Delaware computer repairman who disclosed the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop. This was 3 years ago. And he said on December 30th that his home was subjected to a swatting incident. So that would have been what? Friday night? Friday night it is. Yeah, okay. Now, he owned a computer store in Delaware at which the son of the president, Hunter Biden, was said to have dropped off his laptop years ago. Said he wasn't present during the swatting incident, by the way. Quoting him, this is from a post that he put on X. My home was swatted tonight. I wasn't home, but the outstanding men and women of the Wilmington PD responded quickly and professionally. All that was achieved was the wasted time of the Wilmington PD. Nothing, let me repeat that, nothing will take me out of this fight. Cheers. Oh, yeah, this is a guy who's probably got an awful lot to be angry about these days. And someday, I don't know when, but someday he will go down in history as an American hero of some sort. Now, it's not clear, according to the report in the Epoch Times, not clear whether the swatting's connected to his defamation lawsuit against Biden. Not clear, but certainly worth looking into, right? The Wilmington Police Department hasn't disclosed any details regarding the incident. But you see, Mr. MacIsaac, in October of 22, sued Biden for defamation. And he closed his business in 2020 after getting death threats. And Biden has countersued MacIsaac for allegedly invading his privacy. This is Hunter Biden, by the way. Now, Biden's lawyer, Abby Lowell, reportedly deposed Mr. Isaac in June of 23, a session that lasted about 7 hours, according to the New York Post. And the countersuit filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Delaware asks for a jury trial. Here's what it says. It says, no matter how they came into his initial possession, MacIsaac improperly accessed files that he admits were none of his business, even though he was never given permission by Mr. Biden to access or review any data of Mr. Biden's. So later on, he made copies of the data, distributed the copies to others, including Rudy Giuliani, who at the time was President Trump's attorney. Now, the countersuit says, MacIsaac's knowing and intentional distribution of Mr. Biden's personal and sensitive data was not carried out for any reasonable or legitimate purposes, but rather to try and expose Mr. Biden's data to those that he knew or should have known would intend to create embarrassment and harm for Mr. Biden. In addition, MacIsaac decided to use the data in his possession for commercial purposes and to make money, which he's done by including portions of the data in his book and making reference to and or making some or all of the data available at appearances he has made. Well, according to a document, Mr. MacIsaac has filed in court on April 12th of 2019. Mr. Biden asked for a quote for data recovery from three MacBook computers. Well, Isaac recovered the data and notified Biden of the development. He also sent an invoice, but Biden never returned, never went back to the shop to get the data, nor did he pay the invoice, according to the suit. Now, usually when you deal with a shop of that sort, they have a rider in their, not really a contract, but there's the agreement that any property left over a certain period of time becomes the property of the shop because they're going to assume you don't want this stuff anymore. Now, Biden's attorneys confirmed that Mr. Isaac had come into possession of materials from Biden. Should be an interesting court case to watch. But I'm thinking that Isaac's going to be just fine. Here's one that's going to leave you scratching your head. Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell, who's a Democrat, ruled that Boston's racist mayor, Michelle Wu's No Whites Holiday Party, didn't violate the law. And this was after receiving four complaints about the discrimination. Andrea Campbell, you probably don't know her. But yeah, as Massachusetts Attorney General, she had a rule on this. By the way, she's black. Now, in case you were living under a rock, earlier this month, the far leftist Boston mayor, Michelle Wu, invited only electeds of color to a holiday party, according to an email sent by a staffer. And what this meant, it meant the obvious. Anybody who was white was not invited. Now, a Wu administration official then claimed the email was mistakenly sent out to all Boston city councils or councilors after backlash. And there was a considerable amount of backlash. So, I don't know. This thing seems to be going across racial lines. Whites are offended, but people of color don't care. Gee, doesn't that kind of smack of reverse, or should I say inverse, discrimination? We're going back to the old South, but it's not in the South. And now it's the white people who are the enemies. You know, how many times do I have to make this clear? You can't fight hate with hate. And that's what this is. It's hatred. So libs of TikTok tweeted, Mayor Wu, the mayor of Boston, invited only electeds of color to a holiday party. The email was mistakenly sent to all city council members, including the white ones. One white council member called it divisive. Ya think? So then the tweet went on, said the party is still scheduled to take place and only black council members are invited. Now, here's the actual email from Denise Dos Santos, who is also black. Elected of color holiday party tomorrow. On behalf of Mayor Michelle Wu, I cordially invite you and a guest to the Electeds of Color holiday party on Wednesday, December 13th at 5:30 p.m. at the Parkman House, 33 Beacon Street. Please let me know if you plan to attend and if you have any dietary restrictions. Now, I like this part. You and a guest. What if the guest you want to bring is white? I wonder what would have happened then, huh? Makes you wonder. Well, Michelle Wu proudly shared photos of the anti-white holiday party. And by the way, I want to add that Boston has a history of racism. And it's just not on the, not just on the part of white people. Or black people, I'm sorry. So, according to the Democrat Attorney General, Michelle Wu didn't violate the law. Really? Discrimination in places of public accommodation based on race, color, national origin. She didn't violate that law? Wow. Well, here's how the Boston Herald reported it. The AG's office has fielded four complaints about Mayor Michelle Wu's highly criticized Electeds of Color holiday party, a bash that included an email uninviting white city councilors. See, that made it even worse. Uninviting the white people. The December 13th party, however, did not appear to violate the public accommodation law since it was not open to the public. And that's according to Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell's office. Three of the complaints were from out of state and the other did not contain an address, the AG's office added. A spokesperson would not confirm or deny if any investigation was launched as a result of the complaints. Under Massachusetts law, the AG enforces the public accommodation law, which prohibits discrimination in places of public accommodation based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, deafness, blindness, or any physical or mental disability or ancestry. Now, this isn't the first time that this woke mayor, Michelle Wu, has been accused of discrimination against white people. At an event in 2022, Wu said the following. This is a quote. This past winter was pretty intense. Trial by snow, trial by firefighters union. I'm getting used to dealing with problems that are expensive, disruptive, and white. I'm talking about snowflakes, snowstorms, snowflakes. And then in a virtual signaling move in early February, Wu announced the creation of a reparations task force, which will look into the issue of reparations for black residents. Believe me, my friend, the American people do not want to go down this road. And I mean all American people. You do not want to go down this road. The only people who want reparations are the people looking for handouts. And then there was an incident in March where owners of five restaurants in Boston alleged they've been discriminated against by Wu because of their white Italian heritage. Now, Ms. Wu hasn't been in office all that long. I'd be willing to bet you there will be more similar cases in the not-too-distant future, unless she dummies up. The Comedy Corner for a few laughs with Brendan Eyre.
I ran a marathon one time. I used to be in better shape. I ran a marathon one time. 26.2. That's too far. Too far to run. As a man, when you run a marathon, you have to put Band-Aids or Vaseline, I'm not making this up, on your nipples because your shirt will chafe you so badly at that distance, right? And in hindsight, that probably should be one of life's easiest decision-making tools. You know, just like, hey man, this thing I'm about to do, is there any chance that it might make blood spurt out of my nipples? Oh, there is. Oh, good thing I asked. I'm not going to do it. That was... Wait, what was that? Also, I might number two my pants? I just said I'm not doing it. I said it. Wait, say that. Oh, it costs $70? I pay them. I pay... Well, that's too good to pass up. I'll take two. The marathon got its name because a man in ancient Greece... He ran 26.2 miles from the Battle of Marathon to Athens to deliver the news of the battle. And he ran the 26.2 miles, he delivered the news of the battle, and then he immediately dropped dead. That's true, I'm not making that up. And we honor this man by continuing to run the exact distance which killed him. Down to the point two. That is rude. The people should have been like, that guy is a hero. It's illegal to run that far ever again. We are going to have a memorial 5K fun run. There's going to be plenty of water stops. Nobody's going to have to put anything on their nipples. You get to about the 19-mile mark in the marathon, and the people lined up on the side, they all start yelling the same thing. They all start going, you're almost there! Hey, you're almost there! 7 miles. I'm 7 miles, so what? Yeah, that's almost there. If you're driving. I'm running, one of my toes just died. My left nipple band-aid fell off, took a piece of my left nipple with it. I'm not almost there. One guy yelled, "You're almost there!" I looked over, he had a bite of chocolate croissant in his mouth.
That's it. Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
Tomorrow, G-Man.